This is part two of the interview with Mike Phillips.
When you just used your example of putting $3,000 up to make $2,000, there's a belief that you're going to receive that $3,000 back from the asset manager at some time in the future, correct?
Yes, if your paperwork is done correctly and on time.
Let's talk about that timing of the cash flows. You have to put the money up front. How soon do you get money back from the asset manager? What kind of time frame are you talking about floating that money?
It depends on which asset management company, but I've had money wait 6 months to find its home back to me after it closed. We've also had stuff in 30 days get turned around. And again, I haven't been very specific with brand names, but I'll tell you what, if you can work with one of the HUD asset management companies or Wells Fargo, you're going to do just fine.
Those are the ones that you've seen do their reimbursements the quickest.
Those are the classiest, nicest companies that you can ever deal with in this business, in my opinion, from what I've seen. And Wells Fargo deserves that shout out for sure.
What about paperwork and reporting with these REO folks?
A lot of them can be more intensive than others. And again, each one has its own different personality. I've got four children. You wouldn't think they were related if you hear them speak, yet they're all my children. So what I'm saying is, even though they're all asset management companies, each company has its own personalities.
Do you typically have to do a weekly report, a monthly report? Is there any kind of standardization there?
Tell you what, of the three different HUD asset management companies, some want the report weekly, some not weekly. And it can just be incredible when you're dealing with those time frames, because you've got to be organized. You've got to have your act together. Again, I'm going to tell you this as a bit of advice in this business. It's not a sales job. This is a service job. Anyone that thinks that they're selling for a living is crazy. You're providing a service-based business that results in a sale. That's who succeeds, is the people that remember this is a service job first.
Do you still do your own BPOs?
Yes. Yeah, BPOs are maddening. I recite those things in the middle of the night to myself.
Did that help you early on to get in with any of the banks doing BPOs?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's how you earn your stripes. A lot of those places, you know, if you throw in Google BPO companies, you got to earn your stripes. And remember what I'm saying is, if you're not prepared to jump in to get bank listings by already knowing what to do and how to perform your BPOs, you're out of business. Don't waste your time chasing them until you earn your stripes. And earn your stripes, go do 5,000 BPOs. I'm telling you, you become a pricing expert. Becoming a pricing expert helps you when you list normal houses, and it also makes you a fantastic buyer's agent because you know exactly how to price those properties. Can't say enough good things about BPOs being teachers.
Teaching you how to narrow in on the market and become an excellent pricer.
Yes, pricing is everything, and to learn pricing, you need to learn BPOs. You can't do enough BPOs to stay sharp.
And the best way to get good at BPOs is to?
Just do the BPOs. And you can either, there's a million places online that you can use a search engine to find, but also sometimes if you find that big producer and you want to go help them to learn more about the business, offer to do the BPOs with them. You'll do them, and then they'll probably double check them. And you get graded on your BPOs by these companies too. And if you do a bad job, ain't going to help you.
Last year, when you closed the 1,200 transactions, you didn't do that all by yourself.
No. No, I did not do every single BPO. To me, I also didn't do my own dentistry work and I didn't cut my own hair. I'm not good at those things. What I'm good at is putting the whole formula together.
Can you walk us through the tasks that are required in order to be a good REO agent and which of those tasks you do and which ones you farmed out to either one of your staff members or the one of your inner circle agents?
It really depends on geography. There's been times where I've been asked to take listings that were 4 hours away from me. Not a lot of that stuff is going to get done for me that's not marketing related. It's incomprehensible that I'm going to be able to drive out there in 4 hours and do a BPO for an hour on that property and then drive back. It just doesn't work. So depending geography-wise, where it is how much I get involved. The day I quit being involved on day-to-day things Well, that's going to be an interesting day, but that's also when I'm going to stop learning and my business will decline. I've got to stay in it. Again, geography-wise is how we drive this. So if it's something where I can get in and knock out a few of them and get around, what I usually do is I'll take my Samsung Galaxy Tab with me, and I'll do most of the work right there when I'm in the house, or I'll park in the driveway after I inspect it. The Galaxy Tab is a lot, I guess, like an iPad, which I've never played with one, but I can take the pictures right then and there with it. Heck, I could even Skype the asset manager on there if I wanted, and I can also upload all the data and enter it all right there. It's all about being very quick, very efficient, and streamlined. My trunk right now in my car has everything I need to break into a house, snap padlocks. I've got pry bars. I've got a sledgehammer. I've got graphite lubricant. I've got WD-40. I've got signs. I've got lock boxes, doorknobs. I can't tell you. When I go someplace, I'm a one-stop shop, and I'll bust it all out in one time. That's the only way you can perform on a high-volume basis.
You have all the tools to get access into that property. Is that the focus?
I'm a professional cat burglar. I bring dogs with me when I go into some of these neighborhoods and have to do inspections. If I've had a problem with it, I have a 145-pound Rhodesian Ridgeback, and that is a fantastic dog. And it knows exactly the drill when I go to these homes. And it's my own home. I'm doing the inspection. I'll bring the dog with me. The dog will flank me like the Blue Angels. And sometimes I can say, go check it out, or who's here? And the dog will run through the whole floor of the house and check everything and go crazy and then come back to me at the front door. We've had some bad neighborhoods that we've dealt with in Kansas City before. One time a guy was doing a BPO for me in a not-so-desirable neighborhood, and he got in the middle of a drive-by shooting. His truck, where it said Super Duty on the front of it, said Super, and then a bullet hole, and then Duty. It was a one-in-a-million shot. It was a .45 slug that hit something behind that and stopped right then and there. So going in those neighborhoods, you know, it can be dangerous. And, you know, you've just got to be a smart, happy, polite person and go about your business the best you can. But sometimes even random gunfire, you know, that can happen.
Well, Mike, we've just talked about this REO business and all these things that need to happen, the cost, the money you're putting up front. I think there's probably going to be some people that have the question on their mind, is it profitable?
Volume solves all problems. Who's making more money, Nordstrom or Walmart? If you sell to the masses, you can live with the classes. I think that's what somebody told me a long time ago.
Sell to the masses, live with the classes?
Yep. I stole it from somebody. I listen to everything. The one thing I've got business-wise that I think is incomparable is a memory. I remember every person, every sentence, every conversation that I've ever had, and it's almost a burden when I go to these conferences, because if I've spent 30 seconds talking to somebody, or if they've asked me one question after a talk that I've given, I don't remember if it's one of my best friends or a broker that I know or someone in my marketplace. So if I wave and smile at you like a fool, sorry about that. That's just one of the curses of having that kind of memory.
Would you be willing to tell us what kind of profit margin as a percentage of your revenues that you're able to achieve in the REO business?
No, my accountant could. I really don't pay attention to that. Again, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I drive my business on service and customer satisfaction and volume. And there's been transactions that I've lost money on. Without a doubt, I've lost hundreds of dollars on deals. Some deals I've lost thousands of dollars from sloppy accounting work. It's far and few between, but I'll tell you what, I know it happens. I don't get analytical with my business that way. I have reports. I did run some this week, ironically enough. I'm refinancing my corporate building right now, and I had to pull some numbers. And I'll tell you what, significantly over the last few years, I've been able to, on the company dollars off of each transaction, I've been able to move it up dramatically each of the last 3 years.
We weren't looking for a dollar number, just a percent. You know, if somebody brings in $100 in an REO transaction, how many of those $100 would hit the bottom line?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't run my business that way. My bookkeeper and my accountant run it that way, and they know I'm out of my mind, busy all the time. And it's one of those things where I know I'm not skilled to be a bean counter. I can't do it. I'm a people person, and I facilitate transactions. I can't do it all, and I know where my weaknesses are, And that's one of the ones that I have, and I farm it right out. I'm smart enough. I learned that lesson.
Has your REO business driven the growth of your brokerage?
Absolutely, it's driven the growth of my business. REO is the best thing that's ever happened to me. But I feel like the tax collector some days, where it's almost a sad way to make a living is off someone else's misfortune. But I've really gotten used to that. What I've done is I realized I didn't sell them the house. I didn't make them the bad loan. I didn't fire them from their job. I didn't give them the sickness that they had. All of those things are out of my control. The only things I can control are my own personal things. When other people have bad luck, I'm strictly coming in and cleaning up the mess after the fact. When you look at that business, one of the most brutal things that you can do, besides losing money or getting shot at, is let me paint a scenario that happened a couple years ago. Whenever I do a property inspection or an occupancy check, I usually try to bring someone with me. If it's a first-time occupancy check, the dog's not going to help a lot because he scares people. But my father came with me. We were heading out somewhere on a trip around town. It was about December 20th, and the bank said I had to do an occupancy check. I brought my dad up with me to the door. We knock on the door. The wife answers the door, and the little kids are running around in the footed, cute little pajamas. You can see a Christmas tree in the back, and they were running around holding presents, giggling. There was Christmas music on. I'm telling you, it was a Norman Rockwell painting come to life, and here I am, the Grim Reaper, having to ask, hey, I know the house got foreclosed on. The bank sent me here to ask when you're going to move out. And the lady said, I don't know what you're talking about. My husband pays all the bills. I'm sure everything's fine. It's a mistake. Well, at that point, of course, you know that there's other issues, and all you can do is say, okay, yeah, you're probably right. Here's my card. Can you ask him to call? My father and I almost broke down completely at that point. My father said, what do they need financially to not lose that house? I'm going to pay it. I don't even know these people. Well, that's how I was raised. And so when I'm dealing with these occupancy checks, when it's Christmas in that exact scenario, it's heartbreaking. Your skin will either get 3 inches thick or you're going to leave the business. So at that point, their house was already foreclosed on. There was nothing that could happen. But I tell you what, we worked out a nice cash for keys deal, and we went on. And that was the last time my father went on an inspection with me.
He didn't have the 3-inch thick skin.
No, he did not. He never has. And that's the man who raised me. My mother and father raised me to be a caring, compassionate person, which is, that's not really the makeup for someone doing my job, but actually maybe it really is.
If somebody wanted to get into the REO business and they are completely fresh, what kind of recommendations would you make for them on education? Are there any places that you would send them to get educated, or do you think just becoming an apprentice is the absolute best way?
There's nothing like applying the trade from the first day. Becoming an apprentice, but don't rely on one person to teach you what 100 can. Get out, take a BPO class. Google, you know, REO schools. There's now programs and designations that are teaching you the nuts and bolts of that stuff. Make sure you check around and recognize that some places create their own designation in their brain and want to teach you some kind of worthless set of skills and charge you $500. That's not okay. Make sure that if you take those classes, which I think you should, make sure that you know the reputable companies.
You've mentioned technology. You mentioned the Samsung Galaxy Tab that you use. What other type of technology do you use to streamline your business?
I'll tell you what, that Tab's done a lot for me. Also, you know, HTC smartphone, the Century 21 smartphone app. If you text C21 to 87778, it pops up the most fantastic search app on my smartphone. I love it. And it helps me find houses that I may not, you know, if I'm doing a BPO, I usually get an MLS, and I can figure out what's going on in my comps. But I'll tell you what, once in a blue moon, something will surprise you, and I hit this little button that says search for local listings nearby, it'll pull stuff up that I missed, street names that I didn't know existed, or neighborhoods, which can surprise you sometimes. That little search app is fantastic. Again, I started in this business when giving your cell phone number out to a customer was almost taboo because of the expense. So when you look at these things, high-speed internet, of course, is a must. I mean, that's not even a question. We have a device that now when you take a picture with your phone or your camera, it wirelessly gets fed onto your hard drive, and that's fantastic. That'll save you a ton of money from trying to transfer those things onto your hard drive. And all the technology is so fantastic nowadays. I will tell you this, as I preach communication as your number one tool – make sure that you don't sit there and dial your phone or text your phone when you're driving. If you're in your car, you make sure you have a Bluetooth or voice dialing. Those things will save your life.
You're doing a lot of things. You have a lot of balls in the air. How do you keep control of your time?
Time management is something that's, we're all a slave to time. That's one of the things that nobody can beat. And so you might as well embrace time. With time, my typical day here goes. I wake up 6 or 7 in the morning, depending on what it is. I don't use an alarm clock. I get up, and of course the coffee is the most important, critical thing that I can do at that point. I get to my home office, which I love, and I pet the dogs, and I got the kids running around the house at some point in the day, and I focus in and I get my work done. Then when I have 100% completed, I go and I get ready for the office, and I go into whatever office I'm going to work out of that day, and from there I make some phone calls on the way to the office. From there, I get in, I check in, I smile, I sign the contracts, I make sure everything's good. Might go to one of my other offices, and then between here and there, I'll probably stop at 4 or 5 of the listings. And again, some of it's just an occupancy check, some of it's a sign check. I can't tell you how important a clean, straight, good-conditioned yard sign is when it comes to marketing properties. You see so many of those guys use those little flimsy plastic ones. Pretty much tells me you're a flimsy plastic company. My signs are strong and sturdy and clean and straight, just like I'd like to think our reputation is here. So once I get done with the offices, if I can get out of the office by, and I never go to lunch ever. If I go to lunch with somebody, it's probably my wife and it's a special occasion. A lot of times I'll grab a Slim Fast and drink it right here at the desk. I got in this morning, I haven't left the office. I might not leave till 6 p.m. But if I'm still here doing something, I'll tell you what, one of the ways I relax is I'll grab a nice Cohiba or a Zycar cigar, and I'll enjoy that while I'm here taking care of emails, database work, loading photos, BPOs, that kind of stuff. Nothing will relax me more than a nice cigar. Then I'll go home, have dinner, see the kids, fool around, check on the homework, blah, 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 blah. And then I go back in the office for another hour or two in the evening, and I usually go to sleep about 11 p.m. And that's the happiest, most perfect schedule for my life and my wife and my kids. And we know it and we love it, and it just works out great. When I do go out of town, that Samsung Galaxy Tab is my lifeline.
How many hours do you think you're working in a typical week?
I really don't know. You know, usually on Sundays around here, I usually don't do anything, and half of the Saturday I probably don't. My agents are constantly text messaging me, which is great, and I love that they know that I'm always there for them. Basically, if I'm awake, my phone is on and I'm receptive to that kind of communication. But let's say 7, I'd say I'm working on real estate 10 to 12 hours of the day, but if it's something you enjoy, it's not really working, is it? So if you ask me how many hours I'm working, maybe none. If you ask me how many I spend taking care of real estate, quite a bit.
Do you have a business plan?
Yes, I do. But one of the things about me is I've got the skill of having a fantastic memory. I do have some written business plans, but most of my business plan is scribbled on a blotter in front of me. I do use my smartphone calendar and things and a Google calendar. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing like having that calendar blotter right in front of me. So if I'm on the phone, I can take my chicken scratch and get it on there. And I have bits and pieces of business plans and goals written on it. I have it on my phone as a to-do list. But my brain is really all-encompassing when it comes to those kind of details.
Do you have a master business plan that you put together once a year?
Yeah, every year Century 21 Corporate asks me for it. And as much as I may loathe taking time and getting reflective or sitting down and trying to plan because of my chaotic, busy schedule, those kind of things are very tough, but I do get down and take care of it, and my business manager from Century 21 Corporate gets on me because he knows how important it is, and we nail it every time. We also do a profitability study every year also.
Do you track certain numbers in your business? Are there certain numbers that are more important to you than others?
Close sides. That's what I care about, close sides. That's what I focus in on. I got to stick the sign in the dirt, and then taking out the sign in the dirt is more exciting. That means the sucker sold. A sign out of the dirt is a target for a paycheck. I just made that up. That's good.
Do you track how many closings you're having each week or each month? Do you look at it every day? How are you tracking it? Do you have a goal set aside for a certain period? How are you following it?
I follow it through my Century 21 accounting software. And if you are a company that's owned by Realogy, which is Corcoran, ERA, Better Homes and Gardens, Coldwell Banker, and Century 21, we all use the same software format. And that tracks to the penny, to the percentage, this year's sales versus last year's, or you can go to one day versus last year's the same day, or this month, or last year to this year. It's unbelievable. And once a month, I sit down and I knock that thing out. But when I was telling you that I've changed my business model where I'm trying to spread more business amongst my agents, I'm looking forward to having a little bit more free time to pursue some mergers and acquisitions later this year. And I need those time frames to be compatible with the people that I'd like to acquire. So when I'm telling you my volume is down, it's by design, but my company dollars is up a lot.
You've changed your business model. Describe what your business model looked like last year, what it looks like this year, and why you made the transition.
Last year was madcap chaos. It was something that I just wanted to drive volume. Let's see if we really turn the faucet on how much water is going to come out. And that's we ended up doing over a couple thousand sides. I never thought I'd see $250 million worth of sales on the board for me. It's amazing. So this year, I said, okay, let's do this. Let's focus in on making more dollars per transaction. And that was something that I started doing when HUD 2 went to HUD 3. Because of the personal volume I do is so dependent on those HUD properties, it really went hand in hand, and that's been my main goal. But when I tell you that it's working, it's very exciting because I do plan my business, and I'm careful and conservative when I do my planning. But since I got started in September of 2002, I've either merged into my company or purchased 15 different other real estate companies. So what I found is some companies want to tell you, you know, recruit agent by agent and keep doing this. Well, if I recruit a whole company, I can pick up 10 and 15 at a time. That's a way better thing for a volume-minded person like me.
So you've achieved growth in your brokerage through mergers and acquisitions rather than one agent at a time.
Correct. I will send out notes to the new licensees that pass the test here. I don't want to help some knucklehead who failed at another business think that I'm the messiah and he's going to make a living off my business. What I want is a fresh mind who wants to work and is motivated. I've actually bounced about 10 agents this year that just had an old sourpuss attitude, and I hope some of them hear this, and I tell them I wish you the best of luck. You should have been nicer to the co-ops, and you should have been nicer to the people you work with. There's niceness is never underrated.
It sounds to me like the transition that you're making from last year to this year is last year you were focused completely on being an active producing agent, generating that volume. This year, you're trying to get your current agents producing more at a higher dollar volume, as well as looking at future acquisitions to grow your brokerage. Is that correct?
Yes. And some of the extra things I'm doing with my time by design right now is I'm consulting with other brokerages in states around the country on how they become more successful, more profitable, and how to do more business in the marketplace. Because when I actually said, let's turn the faucet on, we dropped a couple thousand transactions. I'm loving that. So this year, controlled growth, specific transactions, company dollar goals in mind per transaction, it's working, baby, and I'm very happy.
So are you trying to push up your average sales price?
Nah, I can't control that. I'm trying to push up the dollars that the company makes per transaction.
Are you achieving that by charging a higher commission? Are you charging fees in addition to your commissions?
We've gotten away from additional commissions. That is something that came and went. Additional commission is okay. As you know, some of the transaction fees that people were putting on there and calling transaction fees, there's a backlash legally around the country right now on that, and some of the bigger firms are getting sued. You know, we want to avoid that completely. But what I've done is we've been more selective on our business. And the cheap houses that don't pay as much, yeah, let's let somebody else have those. You know, the company, when we pursue listings, if somebody wants a discounted commission, yeah, that's not us either. We provide full service. We demand full commission. And our company commissions are written on a policy, and those are our own, and that's what we follow.
Mike, what drives you?
Wow, that's one of the things that I always wonder, because when people ask me, what drives you, what are you doing? I just sit there sometimes and I have to be reflective, and that's definitely not my nature. Goal setting is important. One of the first trainers I ever had said, write down your goals on a post-it note and put it on your dashboard of your car. Look at it, say it, breathe it, live it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's kind of hokey. Oh, yeah, well, then I started doing it, and fantastic things have happened, literally. I've upgraded my life. I've upgraded my wife. I've upgraded everything in the world. Business is just fantastic. You know, plan it. And if you're not planning it, you're not going to meet it. The goal setting is everything. But in nature, I'm competitive. I'm the little engine that can. And I tell myself, why can't I be the number one volume realtor in America? I've done it before. You want to do it again? Let's think about it. And there's trade-offs in life. Like I was telling you, this year I'm trading off a few things to grow my business as a whole instead of my own personal business myself. Because you have a couple of different ways. What I'm trying to do is grow my asset, my business. Say I got hit by a bus. My wife can't sell my body to somebody. It's gone. What she can sell is my business. So if I focus in on growing my business, that's a true, tangible asset. Where if it's just Mike Phillips, hey, you know, I might not even be a good-looking corpse when I'm done. So it's not going to be worth anything when it's gone.
Why are you successful?
I have to be. That's the whole thing. I'm driven and I'm competitive. It's interesting. If you look sometimes at the way a family breakdown of where the children are, I'm the youngest, and the youngest a lot of times are the most successful. It's because we had to fight so hard and we had to learn how to maybe sell ourselves to the older brother so you didn't get a noogie, or, you know, to be able to get things done in the family. So there's a lot of different skills that the youngest can have just from growing up through osmosis of life. So when it comes to being number one, who would want to be number two? I sure wouldn't. It's not an egomaniac thing to say. It's if it takes the same effort, I'm going to be number one, and I'm going to take care of business. And you know what? I'll tell you what, if you're not number one right now, break down your business in 100 different ways. You're going to find something you're number one in. Build off of that. That came from a guy named Mike Berry, and Mike Berry is a fantastic instructor. There's a few people that have really helped me. Mike Berry, Jan Pringle, and Anita Overstreet. And all three of them have crafted my business in so many different ways.
You mentioned that you were the number one agent in the nation. Tell me about that. When did that happen, and whose ranking was that?
A company called Real Trends puts out a report every year in the Wall Street Journal. I was coming back from a crazy weekend in Vegas, and I sat next to an agent that was a competitor of mine. And they're like, look at my trophy. I just won this for being such a fantastic agent. I'm like, who gave you that? Oh, well, the Wall Street Journal. So I'm like, oh, my goodness, what in the world is this? Where did this come from? So I look it up. It's a Real Trends, which promotes and distributes information that is fantastic about the real estate market. When I get analytical, that's one of the places I go. I looked it up. They only published their list in the Wall Street Journal. So when I looked at it, the next year, I'm like, I'll throw my stuff in there. I think I was number two or number three in the country, and then I went to number one, and I think that was 08 or 09, and then I think it was number three. Two people in Michigan did more volume. See, when I look at it, there's dollars and there's sales volume, and the sales volume is the one that I look at on units. Because of my marketplace with my demographic, I'm never going to have the most dollars on sales ever. That's going to be New England or Beverly Hills or something like that. With here, the thing I can compete with is volume and units. And you know what? A house is a house. I sold the most houses. Last year, like I was saying, I did over 1,200 houses. I think Real Trends reports come out in September, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. It might be out now. I don't pay a ton of attention to it. But once a year for the last few years, I sent that in, and I've been number one, number two, and number three, and I think backwards and forwards on that. I don't know. But, you know, it's one of those things where there's no other way to track that stuff. You have no idea what these other companies are doing and these other people. In your own MLS, I know you can look that up. And in my MLS for Kansas City, I think last year I was the number one in dollars and the number one in units. But again, this year, I don't want to do that. I want to spread my business around. I want to have more people helping me and making more money around me and allowing me to do those other projects that are consulting and also mergers and acquisitions.
If you were to advise a brand new agent just getting into the business, what would you tell them to do first?
The one thing is you've got to remember, you're here to facilitate a transaction. You need to treat everybody better than you treat yourself. If you become a great co-op agent, people like doing business with you. You have no idea the rewards that'll pay. Second, most people that you're going to deal with, their primary home is the number one significant investment they're going to make in their life. Let me tell you this. Why don't you live a little under your means with your own personal house and go buy an apartment building? Don't let your personal residence be the most expensive thing you own. Buy a commercial building. Buy an acreage. Buy something significant and watch the returns years from now.
Is there anything else that you would like to talk about?
As a new agent, I want you to focus in on one thing. Until you can create your own business, you're not going to make it in this business. Press the flesh. So many people want to do business on Facebook or LinkedIn. You'd be shocked at what happens when you actually show up and introduce yourself to somebody. Somebody goes, oh, hey, aren't you my Facebook friend? You say, no, I'm here right now. I'm your real friend. Always promote the listings the best you can. Get the room measurements in there. Never do sloppy work or take a shortcut because that's a reflection on you. And I'm living proof if you set your mind and focus in on a goal, it will become real.
Well, Mike, you're living proof that amazing achievements can be accomplished by those with a plan, a focus, and a commitment. You are an inspiration to all the agents who come after you. You've raised the bar to a level few could have imagined a short decade ago. Your diverse office and your dedication to service reflect your pure core values. Thank you again for being our top agent of the month.
You've been listening to the Mastermind Agent Interview of the Month Club, where top agents, rising agents, team members, and guests from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the club interviews at www.mastermindagent.com.